Hello, everybody. My name is Mount, and this is Mount's Gadget Talk for, depending on when I'm able to upload this, is probably going to be Tuesday, 22nd of September, if I can upload this quickly enough. Obviously, I was supposed to do a Monday episode, but it's Tuesday now, so yeah. I mean, we've got a lot to talk to. It's obviously another big week. Samsung's going to release another kind of affordable S20 phone, I believe, and all that, so that's obviously in the next episode. But today we have quite a lot of news to talk about, a lot of devices to go through. So yeah, let's get cracking. So in the last episode, we talked about the iPad and the Apple Watch. I keep thinking that the Apple released the iPhone 12, but they haven't done it yet. But the iPad and the Apple Watches were announced, and I kind of forgot to talk a bit about the PS5. I think it was on this very day we were doing the episode, the PS5 was announced. But more so, they showed off a few more games, but they finally announced the availability and price. Just basically, for those who've been living under a rock for a long, long time, the PS5 will cost, for the digital version, starting for $399 US. Obviously, prices may vary depending on where you live. And the main disc drive version, basically the main Blu-ray drive, Ultra HD Blu-ray drive version, the full PS5 that comes with a disc drive, will be $499 USD. Obviously, prices may vary depending on where you live, including taxes and stuff. And the PS5 will be available on November 12th if you live in the US, UK, and select markets, and November 19th worldwide. The rest of the world will get it on a week later. But then this happened. I'm going to quote here from The Verge. Sony apologizes for PS5 pre-orders mess. Promises more stock over the next few days. So what kind of happened is that Sony kind of went on Twitter and announced the price and availability of the PS5 and announced that pre-orders will start the next day and so. Pre-orders opened and people ran out to pre-order the PS5 like bananas. Now we've already been hearing like for the last couple of months and weeks that Sony may have not enough PS5. It's weird to say this, not enough PS5. That's like saying, you know, it's crazy how, you know, for those who are not into gaming or don't understand supply and consumer demand for gaming products, they'll not understand the hype or the tension behind not having a PS5 in stock. I mean, okay, we shouldn't exaggerate things. Like, more crazier things have been out of stock for a lot of people. I mean, laptops, there have been, like, a shortage of certain technology items. I mean, webcams and laptops and certain sort of gear has been out of stock in some places. Toilet paper once went out of stock. There was a shortage of toilet paper, obviously at the beginning of the pandemic. And masks were out of stock, hand sanitizers, but PS5s? Seriously, Moan? Are you okay? I mean, you need some help, right? No. But no, really. I mean, we all want that hot, fast, brand new console, plays games at 4K, 60 frames per second. You want to get on the PS5 action. You don't want to wait a while for a PS4. And so, I mean, there was clearly, even though we are in a pandemic year, sort of, despite all that, you have, I mean, PS5 pre-orders, so many pre-orders had happened, so many people pre-ordered the PS5 that some retailers were saying that they pretty much were booked out of their first PS5 stock. Obviously, when it launches on November 12th, depending on where you live, or November 19th, they'll probably not have a PS5 ready to ship out. Even Amazon, mind you, started warning customers yesterday that some of its PS5 pre-orders might arrive after launch day. Because, I mean, it's quite serious. This is from 3 days ago from The Verge. I mean, this came out a few days ago. And then PlayStation tweeted, I mean, fortunately, they needed to acknowledge it, so they tweeted this, and I'm quoting their tweet here. Let's be honest, PS5 pre-orders could have been a lot smoother. We truly apologize for that. Over the next few days, we'll release more PS5 consoles for pre-order. Retailers will share more details, and more PS5s will be available throughout the end of the year. So, basically, Sony kind of saw it coming that there was a lot of demand for the PS5 against what was quite tight supplies for the PS5. So, it's quite interesting, and I don't know if it's connected to this, but so much so that certain PS5 sorts of certain new games that were going to be coming out for the PS5. Now Sony kind of announced sort of on a case-by-case study they're going to release a PS4 port of those titles. So that was definitely very, very interesting, to say the least. So, as I was saying, the games mentioned here that will get PS4 port finally include Horizon Forbidden West, Sackboy A Big Adventure, finally a brand new, you know, variant of the Little Big Planet series, and Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. These three pretty much big launch titles on PS5 will get a PS4 version. And here's the beautiful thing. If you get already get on the PS4, which, okay, it's all right, you'll get a free upgrade to the PS5 version. So as soon as you get the game and have it registered and loaded up, you go get a PS5 copy right away because you deserve to play it on a PS5. I think it's kind of awesome for those people who want to just squeeze more out of the PS4 until the PS5, until they can get the PS5, of course, or until more stock finally comes back up for the PS5. I mean, it's sold out like crazy everywhere from the looks of it. So it kind of makes a hell of a lot of sense that they release a PS4 version. Probably, okay, people are like, well, I mean, they could be greedy and not do this, but oh well. So that's that. So that's interesting situation, to say the least. So just, you know, checked a bunch of places online, including Amazon and stuff. It's sold out. It's really sold out everywhere. I think, okay, though, Sony kind of did say that they are working to get more stock so that people could pre-order a few, obviously more people can pre-order and get their consoles on the launch day. But it's looking like the people have to wait. A good thing there's probably the copies they've given for people for those consoles. So, pretty interesting, to say the least. In more gaming news, Microsoft has bought Bethesda, more specifically ZeniMax Media, which is sort of the parent company behind Bethesda and other major studios, including Bethesda Softworks, Bethesda Game Studios, ID Software, ZeniMax Online Studios, Arkane, Machine Games, Tango Gameworks, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse Studios. Microsoft have essentially bought the parent company behind all these phenomenally great game studios. Just as kind of a heads up, ZeniMax Media is a privately owned publisher and owns probably a lot of these studios. These studios owned by a single publisher have made some big hit games. We're talking The Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Wolfenstein, Doom, Dishonored, Prey, Quake, Starfield, and games like Deathloop, which I've heard a lot about. It's a really good game, though. It's crazy how Microsoft, in one fell swoop, bought out the publisher behind, essentially now Microsoft, Xbox Game Studios, sort of as the publisher behind Doom and Fallout and Elder Scrolls. Now, this is kind of shocking because we didn't see it coming. It's one of those, you know, announcements. We didn't see it coming anywhere, remotely. We didn't see it coming firsthand. And so it's shocking, mind you. People thought Xbox basically was just, you know, Gears of War, Forza, Halo. But obviously now they're buying up more and more studios. So they've made Battletoads on it. Obviously Microsoft owns a lot of more famous game franchises like Battletoads, Sea of Thieves because of this, and what else? Minecraft. Have I forgotten Minecraft is owned by Xbox Game Studios, the publisher behind Minecraft, Mojang? They've been owned by Microsoft for a few years now. Now, you know what's surprising is that Bethesda is now owned by Xbox, and hence, what about Bethesda's sort of additional arrangements that they've had with fellow studios and platforms and stuff, you know, because Doom is on Google Stadia, was competing with Microsoft with the Game Pass Ultimate service. Fallout has come out on the games like Elder Scrolls and Fallout come on PlayStation 2 and PC and tend to be exclusives on those consoles. Yes, Bethesda is also making a bunch of console exclusives. The upcoming Deathloop, which is going to be a PC and PS5 exclusive. What about that, though? Now the thing is that for Microsoft, it shouldn't be a problem figuring out third-party content, basically on third-party platforms, because they bought Mojang, which has made Minecraft, and Minecraft has since continued to be released on other platforms and consoles and devices, which means that for Microsoft, it doesn't really matter if it does end up at on Xbox. I mean, it's just got to be on the Xbox, of course, but it just got to be, you know, it'll be available on Xbox on top of other devices. In fact, Microsoft did give an update stating that they do plan to continue honoring the exclusivity window that PlayStation got with Bethesda with games like Deathloop. So they will get released on Xbox, but obviously after a long while, after that exclusivity expires, then they will push it to Xbox. But also, that means now all of Bethesda's games that have been made until now will be joining Xbox Game Pass, which is lovely, to say the least. But also, people are like, what are we gonna do about? I mean, this studio's games are released on rivaling consoles. Well, again, like with Mojang and other sort of studios, like Microsoft will obviously figure it out, or they will do it on a case by case study, as they've said. But it's quite interesting and quite strong, quite a shocking. We didn't see it coming, frankly. It was just like a Kool-Aid man smashing into the corner of the current console war. Oh, yeah. You know, so that's interesting, to say the least. Moving to another device that we want to talk about. GoPro released their new camera. We reported before that it kind of got leaked. But now we have a new GoPro Hero 5, 9, sorry. Why do I think it's a Hero 5? The Hero 9 Black. I mean, it's the all-new flagship action camera from the guys at GoPro. Such a really cool camera to start with. The feature set we have here is incredible. Obviously, it continues on design pattern of the Hero 8 with the old built-in body and stuff being kind of resistant to water and stuff. But more so, It's got interchangeable lens, a front display, so you could see a bit of a preview of yourself, you know, a bit like a vlog mode. So you could be a action lifestyle vlogger, you know, you could be out surfing and vlogging, you know. I mean, you get the joke. You get 30% more battery, and you get detachable lens. So it all starts with a 5K, with a brand new sensor capable of recording 5K video with all that, ultra wide angle lens that GoPro is known for. So you can record at 4K resolution, 2.7K, 1440p and 1080p, and you can get 14.7 megapixel frame grabs, which is if you really need it. And that's frame grabs. And for photos, you could take 20 megapixel photos, which is amazing. And finally, now you could change out the lens on a GoPro. Obviously, these are quite similar to micro lens you get on your smartphone. If you ever had an iPhone or an Android smartphone, you could add like a lens attachment to the camera, and would change the overall lens or the view of what the camera is seeing. So you get a wide angle view, you get a macro, you know, automatically without getting another camera sensor for it. So this is new to the Hero 9. Black, it's not in another GoPro. The max lens mod delivers unbreakable max hyper smooth stabilization and max super view. Got a lot of max. Our widest angle perspective yet. So you basically just pop out the regular lens cover off the GoPro. It's also waterproof to an extent, looking at the construction. You just pop in this one, you get a wider view, field of view, which is kind of awesome for those people who love GoPros for their ultra-wide field of view. You already use that content for wide FOV content. And also you get other cool media, you get also other cool mods you can add to your GoPro. Already, the mounting system, which is very infamous, but also the mods, so you can have mods so you can get an extra display, a microphone, additional light, and also you get dual display front and back. This is kind of inspired by the DJI Osmo action cam and the Insta360 R, I think, or Max. Also, on top of it, there's also the improved hypersmooth stabilization, hypersmooth 3.0, that features in-camera horizon leveling, which is interesting, and 8x slow-mo. We can record up to 240 frames per second. Doesn't that look so cool? and you get Time Warp 3.0. And also, you have hindsight feature, which means you could start recording 30 minutes before you actually start recording, and you get a specific shot, and you can go from there. Don't know if that's useful, but that's one of those cool extra tidbits that you can get. And also, you can also use now you can directly connect your GoPro to your computer, of course, and obviously, or to the app, and you can get a live stream. You can use your GoPro as a ca webcam for video for conference calls and live streaming, which is kind of cool. Before, you had to use a HDMI sort of capture card thingamajig, like a Elgato webcam link. Yeah, cam link. You had to use the cam link with your GoPro over HDMI. And now that they have a webcam feature, it's kind of awesome. So you can connect a computer, and you can obviously use it to obviously do your Zoom calls and your streams, and it improves the quality. So that's that. I mean, it's quite interesting. And also, apparently, it comes it has in the kind of packaging. It comes in a packaging where it'll essentially be it could be a hard shell case. I can see where they're coming from. Essentially, it'll be like in a case with other tidbits and just paper packaging, so wrapping. So that cuts out a lot of waste with the packaging. It was kind of awesome, this is I think it's sim it reminds me of the it reminds me of DJI what you would do with their packaging. Like they already have it shipped out the packaging for DJI drones. And gimbals is like in a hard shell packaging with like a paper with a cardboard around it only. You just pop it out and it's basically the drone itself. So quite sustainable. So you'll all be wondering now where can you get the Hero 9 Black? Obviously be available wherever action cams are sold. I mean to this point. You can get it on Amazon for $450. And you can get it for $100 less with a free 1 year subscription to GoPro's subscription service, which gives you cloud storage. And apparently, 50% off when you go to GoPro's online store, which just kind of comes in handy if you want to buy accessories and stuff. And of course, you get a 32 gig micro SD card in the box, which is kind of awesome. It's quite interesting what we have here, to say the least. So that was the GoPro Hero 9 Black. I mean, it's $450 for a 5K action cam, more stable. You get a display on the front, so that's interesting. All right, time for a OnePlus story. It's been a while, We've talked about the OnePlus Nord. We haven't talked much about the OnePlus 8T because, I don't know. I mean, the specs are all like predictable to this point. There's not gonna be a 865 plus and stuff. So there's not much to talk about the 8T. It'll just be a little bit better at OnePlus 8. OnePlus 8 itself is already perfect, but now. They're going to be launching OnePlus 8T on October 14. Guys, Techtober is truly here, and the swarm of new gadgets is going to be coming this October, and this is going to be the first of many. So the OnePlus 8T will be launching on October 14th, and apparently, obviously the slogan Ultra stops at nothing, which means that there's a clue that there'll be 120 hertz AMOLED display. But the interesting part of all this is that there won't be a OnePlus 8T Pro, so that's something to look out for. I mean, it's all right. I don't really care if there's a Pro or no, not. But apparently, this is from Android Central. The OnePlus 8T will have four cameras at the back. It'll come out with Android 11 out of the gate, and offer 865 watt fast charging. And guess what? Already a registration page popped up on Amazon.in. So if you live in India, go to Amazon and obviously get yourself registered, and if so, you can quickly pre-order the OnePlus 8T as soon as it's out. It's just going to come in a flash sale and go because OnePlus is quite a popular brand in India, obviously. So it's quite interesting. 120 hertz display is new, and the 65 watt fast charging. So that's new to OnePlus. But I mean, hopefully they have some distinguishing features. So that's that, really. Moving on. Now, the thing about my podcast, really. I'm currently in Pakistan, and all it's great. But the best part about being in Pakistan, obviously, is that in terms of smartphones, you have a wider selection of brands. I mean, if you go out to buy a phone, you're not stuck with an Apple or a Samsung. You have other choices. And another device we're going to talk about speaks to exactly that. Obviously, there's Realme, there's Redmi, there's Xiaomi, there's Oppo, Vivo, and then there's Infinix and Tecno. Those last two brands are quite popular in Pakistan because the other more established brands like Xiaomi and Samsung are quite expensive for the specs that they offer. And so Infinix and Tecno, obviously for some people, their parent company is more known, Transsion Technologies, I believe. Yeah, Transsion Technologies. They have quite a popular smartphone, quite a popular range of brands, really, including Itel. So, yeah. You know, I've kind of like not tried my very best to not really talk about Tecno or Infinix. It's not really that great of, they don't make that great of a smartphone or so. I thought I'd probably bring them up today because Tecno especially just released their new Spark phone, the Spark 6. Apparently, I mean, how I know it is the bombardment of ads everywhere. One difference really about Tecno and Infinix, unlike Xiaomi or let's just say Apple, where you know it because of technology and everyone talks about, you know, they have nice cameras and they have big displays and they've got bezel-less displays and they got fast charging and they even do 100-watt fast charging. Infinix and Tecno kind of know about the marketing. Like, you see the billboard and like, oh, okay, that brand. Okay, cool. So marketing is what made them known quite significantly in a place like Pakistan. Probably that's the strategy all over the world, really. That's how you kind of compete on merit. Is you probably bombard advertising, you just buy ad spots everywhere. Probably this is how Oppo and Vivo survive in certain markets, or else really, we don't really know what phone Oppo is releasing these days. It's just the ads tell us the story. But hey, they say that ads don't really make a brand great or any better, really. I have my own general opinion about whether advertising just kind of improves the image of a brand, really. It doesn't really do anything to it. I mean, if you talk about smartphones, I mean, if you have great specs, have high performance, if you've got good value for money, it will show for itself. No amount of billboards will tell that story quite well. I mean, if specs tell the story, then that's more than enough. But I thought I'd kind of mention this Spark 6. It's the real reason why it's quite powerful is really the specs that they've mentioned here. Basically, apparently, according to them, it's good value for money. So the interesting thing is that the Spark 6 has not been announced anywhere in the world, which is interesting. Only in Pakistan, pretty much, it's been announced completely. In India, though, across the border, although the Spark 6 Air has been out in India, and that costs about, I think, 7,000 to 9,000 Indian rupees, which is just as much as the Spark 6. That's interesting. We're technically getting good value for money also. So what does the Spark 6 has? What does the Spark 6 have that, you know, the rival competition doesn't have at this price? You get a 6.8-inch sort of punch hole display that they've had since the Infinix. I think it first came in an Infinix, the punch hole display. Now it's come to the Tecno Spark 6. It has a 5,000 mAh battery, a Snapdragon Helio G70 processor, which is interesting for the price that we've mentioned it here. 64 gigs of storage, 6 gigs of RAM, which is kind of highly unusual. It can do 240 frames per second slow-mo video. It could shoot up to 1440p. It comes in, it looks a little like, if you're not mistaken, it looks a bit like the Mate 30. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it is. And it even got AI functions. Now, so that's interesting. I mean, it's currently on sale right now. It's gone on sale on Duraz.pk, which is the most popular online shopping site. And the price is roughly 20,600 rupees, which is, let's quickly get the Google conversion for that to back to dollars. $124. Yes, guys, the most popular, probably a hot selling phone will be one that cost $124. Don't know if that's a harsh reality. I mean, I think the real reason why it's that low really is because of the exchange rate right now. $1 gets you 166 rupees, which is what the exchange rate's going for. And so that means that certain brands are completely disadvantaged, are an ultra high disadvantage, or they'll have to slash costs dramatically. I mean, now Tecno and Infinix are willing to sacrifice a lot of costs to deliver a truly value for money product. It's quite interesting what you're getting for 20,000 rupees or $120. It's not much really for a lot of people. I mean, $100 is the sweet, $100, $200 is the sweet spot. So that's the interesting fact, to say the least. I mean, but as I was saying about Tecno earlier on, it's really the marketing that is capturing a lot of people's attention. They obviously have the famous, they have Wali Zafar, very famous singer, pretty much. I mean, if you're in Pakistan, if you don't know him, I don't know where have you been living. It has Wali Zafar on the cover with Real Hero, 6 upgrades, Real Hero, Tecno Mobile. What's interesting is that is Tecno's getting pretty smart with marketing. They're kind of highly influenced by Resurrection Ertugrul, which is a famous series, really, that has blown up in Pakistan since, a bit of a background, really. I mean, Resurrection Ertugrul is a super famous Turkish historical epic drama on the Ottoman leader Ertugrul Bey. You know, he's nice. That's what I've heard. And in Pakistan, a Urdu dub, the show got dubbed in Urdu and premiered on state-run TV during Ramadan and became very popular from there. The first episode got 16 million views on YouTube. And so we have the Ertugrul fever. I mean, the stars of the show, they've become, some of the show's main cast have endorsed some pretty big brands. The main, basically, so the kind of the main female protagonist of the show, mind you, Isra Biljik, who's played Halima Sultan, Ertugrul's wife, essentially, and sort of that queen figure, really. She's now a brand ambassador for the Jazz Mobile Network, which is the most popular 4G network. So Ertugrul fever is truly here, really. I mean, it's unlike anything on TV, really. It's a really good show. It's popular on Netflix. It's number one on the Netflix top 10 list. And how I know it, I checked or watched Netflix a little bit. So that's how I know it's popular. And so they kind of captured into their, they've kind of got into Ertugrul fever with the marketing. I mean, Wali Zafar is in this kind of heroic, kind of Robin Hood kind of costume, you know, so giving that Ertugrul vibe, really. They're trying to get that mainstream audience that is hooked into the show to buy a phone. So that's interesting, really. 20,000 rupees for a Helio G70 and 64 gigs of storage and 6.8-inch display. Yeah, I mean, some people definitely look this over, a Redmi 9 or a Realme C17. Oh, did I forget? The Realme C17 has already been released in Bangladesh already, to kind of earlier today, and it'll cost like around $180. But tomorrow it's going to launch in Pakistan, and it'll be a flash sale from 7 o'clock Pakistan time, sort of GMT plus 5, sort of. So yeah, you know where it's headed next, really. That's Realme, mind you. They're growing like crazy in Pakistan, and so these Realme C17 could cost just as much or a little more than the Spark 6, but it's quite an aggressive smartphone market, to say the least, really. So crazy times ahead. I mean, but that ad is interesting, really. Well, I'm advertising. I mean, pack good specs for once. I mean, I keep arguing. This is my own argument, and I debate over this, and that is, I mean, really, marketing doesn't make a phone great. The specs make the phone great. Good cameras make a great phone, really. I mean, if you have great portrait mode, people will buy it like bananas. I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of how OnePlus grew, really. They didn't do much marketing in India. They just made great spec phones, and word of mouth kind of flew over, and people bought like bananas. And that's in a market where if you don't really advertise, nobody knows you. And it's kind of surprising that OnePlus has built up a big market share in India, really, on word of mouth. That's what great specs can take you. That's the places it can take you, really, in terms of growth, in terms of sales, really. So, I mean, you have two approaches, really. You have, you know, you can do a heavy load of advertising to make the to get the word out, or you can make your phone great enough and so aggressively well-specced that people are like, they're like, oh, my best friend bought this phone. It's phenomenal. Oh, you should get it. It's on Amazon. It's lovely. It's a good value for money, yeah. It's phenomenal, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's how OnePlus became popular, really. I mean, it's you know, college kids, you know, IT geeks, they were like, I bought his OnePlus phone the other day, and it was really amazing, and it had a great camera, and yeah, I think you should buy it. And slowly, a few hundred people, it went into a couple of lakh, and then many lakh bought OnePlus phones. I mean, that's one other way to grow your smartphone brand in South Asia, really, is to make great phones and have good word of mouth. That's just my own opinion. I don't know about you, but I mean, that's how I think. So, I mean, if you really don't care about brands, really, and you're on a tight budget, then the Spark 6, it sounds interesting. So, yeah. Moving on. And finally, we have another gadget we want to talk about before we kind of wrap up. The Amazfit Band 5. Now, if you go Googling for if you go find it online, it's everywhere. Everyone's talking about it, really. It looks awfully similar to the Mi Band 5. I'd be sitting there thinking, well, why? That's just because Amazfit, this wearable hardware startup, is because it's supported by Xiaomi. Amazfit are the folks who make, what is the name of it here? Huami. It's the company that makes the Amazfit smartwatches and also makes the Mi Bands, which are quite popular. And obviously Xiaomi's invested in Huami and stuff, so that's quite interesting. But you know what is more interesting is the Amazfit 5 and its spec sheet, really. It has the same design and screen of the Mi Band 5 to an extent, but here's the interesting part. It's got a 1.1-inch AMOLED color screen with a resolution of 126 by 294 pixels. It can measure heart rate, sleep, menstrual health, basically period health, and stress, which is interesting. It can measure sleep. But more interesting is it can measure your blood oxygen saturation levels with the SpO2 sensor, blood oxygen, with the blood oxygen sensor. It's got 11 sports modes and an Alexa support, so you can ask Alexa to do things on it that you don't get on the Mi Band 5. Now, I'm sure this is for the US market first, given those spec sheet, but it's quite cool that it has all these features. And obviously, with 15 days of battery life, obviously we don't use it that much. And it has 5 atmospheric pressure water resistance, and obviously you can control your music and, you know, a camera shutter option from your phone. And all this and more starts at $450. Now, this costs $45. Shocker, and no surprise, shocker. $45 for a smartwatch that looks a bit like a Mi Band 5. In fact, it almost is a slightly beast mode Mi Band 5 with a blood oxygen sensor, Alexa support, and obviously a whole wealth of fitness tracking. And it's quite a compact fitness tracker, sort of, and $45. And I don't know about the blood oxygen part. I don't know if it is quite comprehensive like the Apple Watch. You can do like a measurement it also comes with a PPG optical sensor, 24/7 continuous heart rate measurement, which is interesting to say the least. So it tracks almost a whole lot of your health. It mainly measures blood oxygen saturation measurement, which is quite fascinating to say the least. But I don't know if this has come out in other smartwatches, really, aside from the Apple Watch Series 6. But it's kind of interesting that Huami have kind of added a blood oxygen measurement sensor, measurement option inside the Amaze. Obviously, it comes with a typical warning that it's not an actual measurement, it's just like for reference. It should not be treated as like a final medical, it's not a medical device, so hence it can't really accurately tell these results. I mean, if you want to get the actual results, just go and get yourself tested by a doctor, and he'll tell you if you're really well. I mean, you can get your blood oxygen level measured. That's kind of interesting on top of, obviously, Alexa compatibility, the fact that they've got that working, which is interesting. But you can get your heart rate tracked, stress level, sleep, a whole lot of features, and all this for $45, which is quite a good price for a smartwatch. And you get, basically, you get a typical usage where you open it and run exercises, you get 15 days battery life, but in power saving mode, you get 25 days battery life, so almost a month, barely less than a month, you can go by without charging it, which is a little bit like the Mi Band in general. So, and it comes in really cool bands and colors. And obviously, you can do a whole lot more. You can check activity status, you get message notifications, you can find your phone, has an alarm. You can have do not disturb on, you can obviously have a camera shutter. We've got a world clock, alarm. What else? You get reminders. It's kind of cool, I mean, and all this for $45, which is quite amazing. And you get a colorful display compared to, obviously, the much, much older Mi Bands. So it's a good value for money. I mean, honestly, if I'm thinking of buying one already, I'll probably get this. As Amazfit does make some really good smartwatches for the money, really compare. I mean, because they're the ones who make the Mi Bands, and so they have some experience with smartwatches. So that's something to note here. That's something of note. So, if you have $45 to spend on a wearable, do get this if it's available. I believe it's going to be on Amazon for $45, so it's going to be out soon. So you'll have to kind of wait. But that's interesting, to say the least. So that's the Huami Amazfit Smart Band 5. Band 5 thingabajing. And that was the podcast. Thanks for listening. It's great to see all of you listening. And obviously, our overall audience is growing day by day. And it really means a lot. Thank you so much. And I keep saying that. Keep telling your friends about it. Keep sharing it and all that good stuff. That's the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Till Wednesday. That's pretty much tomorrow. Ciao. Thanks for listening. That's all we have for today. Ciao. Adios.